Večeras na liniji iz Oklanda, Novi Zeland, imamo posebnu gošću, autoricu knjige Britanija i Blajburška tragedija, gospođu Suzanne Brooks Pinčević.
Tonight's guest of Croatian Info Radio Toronto is Suzanne Brooks Pinčević, artist and author of the book Britain and the Blajburg Tragedy. Welcome on Croatian Info Radio, Suzanne.
Hello, Veronica, and thank you. Welcome to you too, and to Auckland via the line. I'm very pleased to hear you.
Thank you. Can you tell our listeners a bit about yourself and your work?
I live in Auckland, the largest city of New Zealand in the South Pacific. It has a population of about 1 million, and I live close to the sea and the city centre. As you said in your introduction, I am a professional artist, painting in all mediums, oils, acrylics, pastels. I work from our modest home studio and belong to a group of 7 artisans. We are of the boutique type, as all of us work from our home studios. You can actually see our work on our website. It is www.harborsideartrail.co.nz, Harborside Art Trail, all one word.
Mm-hmm.
I am listed under Gallery du Lion d'Or, Gallery of the Golden Lion. My husband Gary, who came as a young man from Dubrovnik in the mid-50s to Australia, is a picture framer, and this is our regular work.
Mm-hmm.
However, I have a lot to do with the local Croatian community since the homeland war started in 91, and with the large Croatian communities in Australia, especially Sydney. Since 98, I have been a regular contributor on Croatian current affairs to the 3 popular Australian Croatian newspapers. These are the Spremnos, the Nova Hrvatska, and the Hrvatski Vjesnik. In 94, I organized probably the largest Croatian fundraising event in New Zealand. It was for the refugee children from Croatia and Bosnia-Herzegovina. During the Homeland War, I did 4 historic paintings showing the liberation of Croatia, and I'm honored that these paintings are on permanent display in the New Zealand room of the Croatian Embassy, which is in Australia. In 96, I held a big exhibition of Adriatic paintings at one of Auckland's largest centres. This resulted in my large painting of a Croatian pioneer being officially presented to the city, where it stays in honour of a century of Croatian settlement in New Zealand, and this was the first time that was honoured. In 99, I organised the first Croatian Arts and Crafts exhibition in Auckland, and I've been a committee member of the Croatian Women's League for many years. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, and then you were author of a book, Britain and the Blajburg Tragedy. Your book was published in 1998. This book was later translated into Croatian. As an author, how do you feel about your book being translated into Croatian and now awaiting second edition?
Well, naturally, Veronica, I really feel honored that it's my book that's been chosen by the very people who personally experienced the terrors of Blajburg and the Krishni Put. The aging war veterans who translated the book felt strongly that it was important Croatians, especially the younger generation, know the truth of the biggest tragedy that happened to the Croatian people. And so they searched for a book that would best tell the story. Their recognition of my work, Britain and the Blajburg Tragedy, published in 98 in English, by an author they did not know, gives enormous credibility to my interpretation of this tragedy and the homeland war. It has made my work and my personal cost for the English edition very worthwhile. The request from them to do the translation did come as a big surprise. For years I had hoped it would be done, but had given up on the idea really a long time ago.
Can you describe the contents of your book and where you researched the facts to write this book?
The book is a summary of the past century of Croatia's history and its rebirth. It's not a big book, only 90 pages. At the start of the Domovinski rat, I became aware of the injustice by the world powers in stopping Croatia from defending itself against Serb aggression. And so I was compelled by these feelings to paint the destruction done to the Croatian people and their country. So remember, I'm an artist by profession,
mm-hmm.
and I have a talent, and I've been trained and spent a lifetime painting to earn a living. So I did 4 big paintings. Then I was asked to also record the Blaiburg tragedy. So I did 2 very big paintings of that. I needed to put it into 2 paintings so that it would be able to tell the story. One was I called Betrayal, showing the actual betrayal at Blaiburg, and the other one is called Operation Slaughterhouse, after John Priscilla's book, and that shows, of course, yeah, the result of the betrayal. They are 6 feet high, and they, as I said, tell all the story. My research included the extensive reading of many books, discussions with historians, talking with soldiers from 1945 and 1995, and with many others closely connected to this history. I could see strong similarities in Croatia's World War II fight for independence and the Domovinsky Rat. So when I decided to do the book, I based it on my paintings, which are illustrated in the book. I wove around the paintings the story of the aggression against Croatia by the Serbs to make Greater Serbia in the 1940s and again in the 90s. I refer extensively to John Ivan Priscilla and his work, Operation Slaughterhouse, and to Count Nikolai Tolstoy's book, The Minister and the Massacre. Both of these authors helped me and gave their support on the cover of the book. I also wrote about the deception of the Western powers and their strategies to foster Yugoslavia and strangle Croatian aspirations. And, of course, they are still at it, using different methods, but with the same aim. This is all detailed in the book, which is colorful and brief, but precise.
Who initiated the translation of this book into Croatian and why?
The translation was the idea of the Domobran officers 242 Club in Zagreb. I think they liked the straightforward manner of my writing, which treats the soldiers and their cause with respect. I was told that the Domobran say my emotive paintings in the book convey 1,000 words and make the book totally unique. This, I believe, mostly encouraged them. About 2 years ago, they contacted a former Domobran in Sydney to find me, which he did, and they asked for permission to publish my book, Britain and the Blaiburg Tragedy in the Croatian language. Naturally, I was happy to agree. Of course, I would supervise the publishing to be sure it remained true to my writings. The translation was done, but it took several months. It was very costly for the Domobrans. So that was when they asked me to help them to find assistance for the printing. And so I approached the Croatian Intercommittee Council of New South Wales, and they were happy to become one of the 3 publishers. They are organizing the fundraising.
So donations are being taken to print this book. You have associates who are collecting donations in Australia, New Zealand, United States of America, and now in Canada. Who is collecting donations in the Toronto area, and what is being offered for these donations?
There are 3 publishers for the book. The Domobran Officers 242 Club of Zagreb, and the contact is Mr. Stepan Bradic. The Croatian Intercommittee Council of New South Wales and the Croatian Victimology Society of Zagreb. The contact there is Dr. Zvonimir Čeparović, who offered to be the editor, as he did for John Priscilla's book, Hrvatski Holocaust, which was published last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also fortunate to have Professor Marian Krimpotic as the lector for the Croatian language. I am pleased to help the publishers as the author. This second publication is solely for the benefit of Croatia. I am not receiving any profits from it. The Croatian Intercommittee Council in Sydney have the responsibility of holding the funds and making payment for the printing. They have had assistance from Croatian World Congress in Perth, and the Domobran organizations in the USA are also contributing towards the publishing, as well as Croatians here in New Zealand. For a $50 donation or more, the donor will receive a copy of the book. And for a $100 donation or more, the donor will also be mentioned in the book unless they prefer to remain anonymous. Our contact in Canada for receipt of donations is Mr. Bob Markich of Toronto. So anyone interested in donating there, to please post donations to Mr. Markich at 2980 Lakeshore Boulevard, West Toronto, ON M9V1J9. I think it is two blocks west of Islington Avenue if they want to call in. Or telephone Bobo Markich for further information at 416-259-5004 at the Sharkage Travel Centre. Working hours there are Monday to Friday from 10:30 to 6 and Saturday till 1 p.m. The phone number again for Bobo is 416-259-5004.
As a non-Croatian, you have a great interest in the Bleiburg tragedy of the Croatian people. Apart from writing this book, you're also writing articles about Bleiburg and are very knowledgeable of today's Croatian situation. What makes you take such a strong stand on the controversial subject of Bleiburg?
I guess the fact that I'm married to a Croat has a big influence, of course. But I hate injustice, especially on such a big scale, and especially as it affected my husband's family. I too came from a family that have bitter memories of the two world wars. Twice the Germans shelled my mother's home and made her family refugees. They lived in northern France, which saw heavy fighting in World War I, killing nearly 1.5 million French. My mother and father were in Hong Kong when World War II broke out. My mother was evacuated to Australia. The Japanese invaded Hong Kong a few months later, and my father, fighting for the British, ended up a prisoner of war camp for 4 years. Throughout the war, my mother worked in Sydney for the Australian Army and then for the Americans. She also worked for the Free French in their newspaper office. After 5 years, my parents were reunited. It is important that you know I grew up in a family that had no reason to like the Germans or the Japanese. And if I had found any evidence supporting the propaganda against the Croats, I would not be speaking to you tonight, nor would I have taken up the Croatian cause, nor would I have written my book, which goes to great lengths to clear the Croats from the fascist stigma they have carried since World War II. My extensive research into Croatia's pre- and post-World War II history revealed the Croatians were misunderstood and unjustly condemned for their actions during World War II. Croatian forces have never invaded any country. During World War II, Croatia fought a war of self-defense against Serb and communist tyranny to secure its independent state. But the Allies had their own plans for Croatia and had no intention of accommodating Croatian sovereignty. My own ongoing research confirms the Croats were the victims of dirty international politics, skillfully hidden from the world because it would have reflected badly on those responsible. So I guess you can say it is my conscience that drives me to expose it and the current strategies they are using, but also my earnest desire to see Croatia takes its place in Europe as an equal partner and not as a servant to British and other European powers or trampled by Serbs.
Last year you wrote an article under the name Hypocrisy, where you pointed out how the Croatian parliament was deceiving Croatian public by buying the property in Austria and erecting a monument to Bleiburg victims, a monument which you called a Trojan horse. Can you elaborate? What did you mean by deceit and the Trojan horse?
A couple of years ago, the Croatian government bought land at Bleiburg and made it their business to take control of everything relating to post-World War II activities in Croatia, especially matters about Bleiburg and the NDH. To do this, they employed people in key positions, such as Bojo Vukasic, to organize the building of the Bleiburg Memorial, and now recently the chapel, and to produce books that hide the true history. These books, cleverly written by Bojo Vukasic, Josip Jurčević and their colleagues, appear to the casual reader to honour the victims of Bleiburg tragedy in Krishni Put. But to the more careful reader, it soon becomes obvious that the books really glorify the partisans and degrade the Croatian soldiers as simply poor victims who deserve nothing more than pity. Because nowhere in their books do they give any respect to the victims, and absolutely nothing is written about the Independence Day of Croatia, the NDH, or what the Croatian soldiers fought for, or why they died. Without these important facts, the whole significance of Bleiburg is lost, and with it, the respect those victims deserve. What Vukasic and his colleagues did with the books, they also did to the Bleiburg monument. After the 60th commemoration was over, Vukasic sneaked back to remove the wording from the Bleiburg monument. He took out of the wording any reference to Croatia or the Croatian army. So Vukasic's actions prove absolutely what I exposed in my article, Hypocrisy, in April 2005.
So what is your opinion of today's politics in Croatia? President Mesic and Premier Sanader. Who out of the two would you say does more damage to Croatia and its people?
Veronica, it is difficult to say who out of the two would be the worst. At least with Mesic, you see what you're getting.
Yes.
He makes no effort to hide his dislike for Croatian patriots and his support for anything Serb, including their return to power in Croatia. His words, his whole body language, are anti-Croat. How the Croatian people were not able to see this, and why they voted him into power not once but twice, that beggars belief. But Sanader, now, probably he's the worst, because he pretends to be what he is not. He is a consistent liar. In the best example, he pledges support for the generals, and the next moment, he's giving them to The Hague. On Tudjman's ticket, Sanader used the Hadezer party to gain support, but once he was in power, he totally betrayed Hadezer principles and Tudjman's ideals. Number one ideal being that Croatia would never again tie itself into another pact. And what is it doing? The biggest problem in Croatia that will continue to hold the country back until it is dealt with head on is the bad propaganda arising from Croatia's World War II activity, which is used extensively in accusations coming from The Hague and by Serb extremists and President Mesic himself, who all exploit it to their advantage with totally absurd and illogical fabrications about Jasenovac and Krajina. It would be naive to say that this old history has nothing to do with today's politics. It is the underlying biggest problem. The lies in their propaganda about World War II provide Croatians' enemy with a moralistic weapon, which they use to make Croatia crawl to them. And this affects all aspects of Croatia's aspirations in Europe today, forcing Croatia to comply with a crippling criteria to gain entry to the EU. The EU is feeding Croatia nonsense about how wonderful it would be to join them, and Croatia is supposed to earn this so-called luxury by following their regulations for entry. And that's a joke. The truth is, Croatia is again being shackled to powerful overlords to profit from. And they don't even need to bring Croatia into the EU to do that. Crippling debts, massive land sales to foreigners, and the banks all in foreign hands are an early indication of such exploitation by European powers through the manipulation of weak and selfish Croatian government ministers. The EU has Croatia tagged to be the cheap holiday home for wealthy Europeans and the breadbasket for unskilled migrants from Bosnia, Albania, Macedonia, Montenegro, who will pour into Croatia when the borders come down, as they will in accordance with the agreement signed in 2001 by Rača. Europe itself has enormous unemployment and industrial problems of its own, so has no intention of competing in its markets with Croatia, but it will exploit the region to its own advantage by offloading its own goods, which it's already doing. Croatia will be a playground for wealthy foreigners with a huge mass of poor migrants cleaning up their mess. There will be a small middle class, mostly government service providers and probably Serbs, traditionally favoured by the British, especially as we've seen lately, and as in generations past, it will be the Croats who will immigrate.
Thank you for being a guest on the Croatian Info program tonight. Thank you for being a true warrior for the Croatian cause. To end this interview, I would ask you, as I ask all guests of the Croatian Info Radio, what is your message to our listeners?
I would say to the listeners that it is essential for them to see what is coming and recognize the importance of correcting the wrong World War II propaganda they are using against Croatia. It will take a lot of courage, but needs to be done if Croatia is ever to be free from this eternal blackmail. Look at how much attention, honour and respect is given to Gallipoli by the Anzacs in Australia and New Zealand. Every year drawing bigger crowds, including children, who will be tomorrow's leaders. Bringing the people together with a national pride based on a great sacrifice for the country. It is the same with the French and their Bastille Day, the Americans and their Independence Day. In terms of significance for nationhood and liberty, Bleiburg is Croatia's equivalent. This is an important lesson for Croats to observe if they want to retain their nation. Honour all those who have died for you to live, those who tried to and those that did give you the security and freedom you take for granted today. Bleiburg is Croatia's driving force. You must not allow it to be obliterated. This symbol of nationhood should also now include the sacrifices made in the Domovinski Rat, which will one day face the same fate as Bleiburg if the current government and the Hague have their way. My book spells out this truth, and that is why the Croatian version is needed. So please support it by getting one for yourself or your children. Thank you, Veronica.
Can you please repeat once more Bob Markić and his phone number?
Okay. It's Mr. Bobo or Bob Markić, and you can ring him if you haven't got his address down, but just quickly, 2980 Lakeshore Boulevard West, Toronto, ONM9V1J9. And if you want to visit the Sharkage Travel Centre, 2 blocks west of Islington Avenue, which is open Monday to Friday, 10:30 to 6 or Saturday to 1. And his phone number again at the Travel Centre is 416-259-5004.
Thank you, Susan, once more for being a guest on the Croatian Info Radio program Toronto tonight. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Veronica, and to all your listeners. And it's really been good talking to you.
Thank you.
Bila je to Suzan Brooks-Pinčević, autorica knjige Britanija i Blajburska tragedija.